to which I've never been before. No sad goodbyes will there be spoken, and time won't matter anymore. New land I belong in for you, and someday across the river.
Oh, yes, we are. Amen.
To where my
faith
will end inside. There's just a few. This bride will take her rapture.
Hallelujah. Sing with all your heart now.
Oh, it's new love. I'm longing for you. And someday.
Praise the Lord. Isn't it good to be in the house of God this morning? How many of you enjoyed service here last night? How many of you just think that Brother Terry Horn preached us a masterpiece here last night? Amen. Praise the Lord. Just, Brother Terry, I'll just tell you again, that was just a tremendous message. I appreciate you being obedient to the Lord, and I'm certain it was a blessing to all that heard it here last night. Well, here we are again this morning, and you know what? I'm hungry again. How about you? Are you hungry this morning? Give the Lord a big hand clap of praise if you love Him today. Oh, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Now, why don't you just turn around, take a minute or two, shake somebody's hand, and tell them, I'm glad you're hungry. I'm glad you guys are hungry this morning. We're going to have a good time here, aren't we? Play some more of that song. Play it. Play it. Real good.
this song.
Sister Janet Kennedy wants to offer this testimony this morning. Brother Andrew Kennedy wants to thank the Lord for touching his foot. And also wants to give thanks for just being able to walk. So praise the Lord this morning for the touch of the Master. I want to pray for Brother Don Riddlebaugh this morning. He had over 30 bee stings to his head and is being treated at the hospital. He's been taken to the hospital to be treated. So we want to pray for our brother today that the Lord would be mindful of him. I want to pray for the family of Brother Lee Vail. Brother Vail passed away this past Friday, so we certainly pray for that family that the Lord would be mindful of those folks as we pray this morning on their behalf. Brother Jerry Glenn wants us to remember a man by the name of Jim Wright has non-Hodgkin's lymphomic cancer. The cancer is in stage 4, and he's asked that we would remember him in prayer, so let's pray for that need today. I want to pray for Sister Monica Cox at home, real sick this morning, needs a touch from the Lord. Brother Daniel and Sister Linda Nunley, so their son Stephen has been in Augusta, Georgia for 2 months for Army leadership training. He's scheduled to return to Germany on Wednesday. He is visiting his daughters who came to spend some time with their grandparents for the summer. They'll be taking Stephen to Augusta today. Just they're asking that we would remember them for traveling safety, and that the Lord would give him a safe return flight back to Germany, Brother Stephen. So let's pray on that behalf this morning. Sister Sylvia Barham sends this in to please pray for the family of my co-worker, Robert Bishop. He passed away and leaving a 16-year-old son. So we want to pray for that family that the Lord would comfort their hearts. Also another co-worker, Charlene Greer, her son-in-law, killed his wife, then killed himself. They had 3 children who were in the home at the time. So we just pray for that situation that God would help in that problem there. That we know it's just people are doing all sorts of things. And we just ask God to help those that are left behind. Brother Keith Phillips wants us to pray about a job situation, a work environment. The Lord would let him know what to do on that situation. So we just commit all that unto the Lord. Sister Sherry Hayton sends in a prayer request. A lady that I talked with asked the church to pray for her 3-year-old boy, for a 3-year-old boy that has second and third degree burns on his body after falling into a campfire. So we want to pray for that need this morning, that the Lord would just be with that family, that child. If you have an unspoken prayer request this morning, something you'd like for this assembly to pray about, certainly want to continue to remember Sister Natalie in prayer, that the Lord would just be with her. I guess she's still in Zion, Illinois at this time, as far as we know. So let's just pray that the Lord would be with her and that family, her family during this time. All these things, we know that we're serving a God that's bigger than all of our problems, don't we? And we've got a lot of, you know, the things that's been written down here. To the natural mind, there's no answer for a lot of that. You have no advice. You have no answer for a lot of things. But we know that we're serving a God that has got every answer to every situation. Are you glad about that this morning? Give the Lord one more hand clap of praise if you would this morning. Brother Bert Thomason, would you come this morning, Brother Bert? Let's invite the presence of our Lord into this service and join Brother Bert as he prays over these prayer requests this morning.
We were singing about what it would mean to be completed, Lord, and to cross into the land, Lord, where all that we're going through now has been completed, Lord, the effects and the building of the Word in our character and everything, Lord. And right now we need strength, Lord. We're just so grateful that we have that promise to look to, that all that we're going through now, Lord, is for that purpose, Lord. And we're just praying for strength to be released into every heart and mind that's associated with these needs, Lord. Each one, Father, may they receive their portion this morning, I pray, Father. We know the Word is an ocean, Lord, of reality waiting to be released, Father, by the faith of your children, Lord. We just honor your Word this morning and stand in intercession, knowing that each one of these will be met perfectly in your perfect will. In Jesus' name, amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Bert. God bless you. Somebody say, praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
Ushers, if you'd like to come at this time, we'll receive the morning tithe and offering. If you're visiting today with us in the service, we want to welcome you. All those that are streaming the services today, may God richly bless those folks as well. Let me make a couple of announcements as the ushers receive your offering this morning. There will be a trustee meeting after service in the men's nursery, so remember that. And Brother Paul and Sister Simone says a special thank you to all those who gave so graciously of their time, talents, to make their graduation so successful. May God bless you. So understand it was quite an event, so we thank the Lord that everything went well. Let's sing a song this morning, Psalms 3. Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me, the glory and the lifter of my head. How many of you know sometimes you just need somebody to undergird you a little bit? Brother Terry, we'll just do it anyway, won't we? I love your message last night. There's things we do because we're called to do it. You believe that with all your heart? Let's sing it with all of our heart this morning. Oh, Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. You're the glory and the lifter of my head. Yes, Thou, O Lord, art a shield for me. You're the glory and the lifter of my head. One more time.
Many are the demon spirits that rise against me.
Oh, yes. Yes, there is.
Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for you in God.
Oh, yes.
I cried unto the Lord with my bones. Precious, precious Holy Ghost, sustain me. I will not be afraid of 10,000s of
Hallelujah.
Demons. Every evil spirit may rise up against me.
Yes, Lord.
I will not be afraid of 10,000s of demons that encamp themselves against me round.
Oh, let's sing that church.
would say of my soul. There is no help for you in God.
Oh, yes.
I cried unto the Lord,
yes, Lord,
with my voice.
And he heard me.
Slept when I awakened. It was the precious, precious Holy Ghost,
oh, yes,
sustain me.
Hallelujah.
I will not be afraid of 10,000s of demons. Every evil spirit may rise up against me. I will not be of 10,000s of demons, that encamp themselves against me round about. For I know
Thou, O Lord, art shield,
Thou, O Lord, art my shield.
You're the glory and the lifter of my head.
Amen. Let's sing a little bit of this song this morning, just before we change the order of the service. I'm glad we've got someone to care. Aren't you glad about it this morning that you've got somebody that cares about you? Praise the Lord. Yes, we've got someone to care and someone to share all of our troubles like no other can do. Oh, He'll come down from the sky, brush the tears from your eyes. You're His child, and He cares for you. Oh, we've got someone to care. Like no other can do.
He'll come down from the sky, brush the tears from your eyes.
You're His child, and He cares for you.
Someone who cares
praise the Lord
for you. is a friend to you.
Singing that, church, with all your heart. Oh, you've got someone to care, someone to share all your troubles like no other. From the sky, brush those tears from your eyes.
You're His child.
Hallelujah.
And He cares.
Sing that second verse for me, if you would.
For you. And when your disappointments come, and you feel so blue, there is someone,
praise the Lord,
who cares for you.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.
When there's tears in your eyes,
there's tears in your eyes,
your heart bleeds inside, there is someone,
thank you, Lord, for caring,
who cares for.
Now sing that chorus one more time. Oh, we've got someone who cares, someone to share all your troubles like no other can do.
Brush the tears from your eyes.
Oh, you're His child, and He cares for you. Somebody say praise the Lord. Amen. God bless you. You can be seated this morning. Brother Brandon Green is here this morning. Brother Brandon, God bless you. Where are you at? Brother Fred, we're going to use you on Wednesday night, Lord willing. Okay, it's Brother Brandon's turn this morning. Amen. Where is Brother Brandon at? Good. All right. Larry thinks he knows everything. You're pretty sure you know everything, aren't you? Amen. Well, we're waiting. There he comes right there. Now, this guy right here, bless his heart, he's just a good guy. We love him. And he's so very talented, and I believe he blesses you every time he ministers to you in song. And I love his attitude. I love his spirit. And he's going to do a song this morning, and we all get to help him. Now, how you like that? We all get to help him do this song, so I'm going to ask you to stand one more time. Just rest yourself as you stand, because you're going to be sitting. Brother Donnie's getting ready to come just in a few minutes to bring us the word of the Lord. How many of you are looking forward to hearing what he has for us this morning? The Lord never disappoints, does he? Amen. He's going to start it, and we're going to try to catch him.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Let's sing a chorus as our pastor gets ready to come bring us the word of the Lord this morning. It's Jesus I really want to see. How about you this morning? Brother Brandon, God bless you. Thank you. Brother John, thank you for helping all you musicians up here. We just got an outstanding platform of musicians, don't we? We certainly do. Just outstanding. Amen. Outstanding. It's Jesus I really want to see. Oh, yes, it's Jesus I really want to see. Oh, the more I see of this whole world, the less it means to me. And it's Jesus I really want to see.
So the last shall be first, and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. Matthew chapter 22, verse 14. For many are called, but few are chosen. Now remember who this is saying this. The Lord Jesus. Look at the word called. Many are called. Kletos, which is invited to a banquet. Invited by God in the proclamation of the gospel to obtain salvation in the kingdom through Christ. Now many are in that category. They are called. But few are eklektos, chosen, elect, picked out, chosen by God, choice, select, the best of its kind or class. Excellence preeminent, applied to certain individual Christians. That's enough to make anybody shout, ain't it? Now, friends, it was not Brother Branham that began to preach election and predestination. God Himself lives and works in that realm. Now, these are the words of the Lord Jesus. Surely we'll not debate with that. That it was His own choice. So many will be called. Many will be invited to the banquet. But only a few will be chosen. Listen to this in the Sardesian church age. We know most assuredly that the purpose of God stands in election. It was purposed in Himself. It was God's purpose to bring forth a people, Lord, like unto Himself, that would be a word bride. She was chosen before the foundation of the world in Him. She was foreknown and beloved before she was ever brought forth during the ages upon the earth. She was redeemed by His blood and can never come into condemnation. She can never be in the judgment because sin cannot be imputed unto her. And with all that background, I'd like to speak to you today, and my title will be in the form of a question. Who is the rapture for? Who is the rapture for? We just read about it. I read you the answer before I asked you the question. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, we love You so much today. I read it years ago, but as I read it again yesterday, I had to marvel again. As Brother Branham said it back in 1956, that he would be a mighty discouraged man if he didn't believe in election. And I thought, what a profound statement for a man who believed in miracles, supernatural, all kinds of other things. But if it wasn't for election, he'd be so discouraged. So we look at it today and realize as well, there must be a peace, a comfort, something that comes to us by understanding election. As we approach this today, we ask for Your help, Lord. I've applied myself, I've studied, I've prayed, I've done all I know to do. Then I bring this service, these people, myself, into Your hands and ask for Your supernatural intervention that You would help us. If there will be anything accomplished out of the service, it will be You that does it. We are not able. All we do is present ourselves and ask if You can use us, Lord. So anoint us, I pray. Catch us up into our position in Christ Jesus. Speak to us Your word, Father, we ask. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated today. Saints, God bless you. So love you in the Lord. So appreciate each of you. I'd like to join Brother Louis in his comments about the service. I sense or enjoyed things the Lord placed on Brother Horn's heart. We was really blessed from it last night. But I come back again today hungry. Isn't that amazing? Have all that good stuff last night and hungry again today. Let us read again, if you would, in Mark chapter 13, verse 19. Now these are for reference. Of course, you know, part of these scriptures are speaking of the pre-tribulation period, which was applied actually when Titus came, the Roman general, to destroy Jerusalem, which Josephus says around 110,000 people were killed in the siege, just in the siege of the city alone, outside the outlying areas of Judea and round about. But yet there is a principle that we can see applied in this. Jesus says, "For in those days shall be affliction, such as was not from the beginning of the creation which God created unto this time, neither shall be. And except the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh should be saved, but for the elect's sake, whom He hath chosen, He hath shortened the days." Now, God, in the way that He looks at things, I know that people get upset and they get bothered when you go to talking about predestination, foreknowledge, election, choosing, and all of that. Most of the people I've found that do, it's because they lack an understanding of it. And they're so rooted and grounded in their misunderstanding, they will not let you correct them with a proper understanding, which makes them twice the more difficult to deal with. But whenever God's own principle is laid before us and we refuse to accept that, well, you know, I say, you just certainly need prayer. That's all I can say for you. But this is not something now that was introduced by John Calvin. This was not something that was introduced by Arrhenius, by Luther, by Wesley. But this was something that was introduced by God Himself. That this is God's, one of God's divine principles upon which He chose to deal with the human race, and that was by election. So then if God chooses to have a people that will be peculiar to Himself, He will deal with them in a different way than all the rest of the people. Then really that's God's prerogative. As it was when I got ready to get married at the ripe old age of 16, there was all kinds of girls around. There were different ones that I knew and different ones that I had liked as a boy. But you know what? I didn't marry one of them. I married one. And that was absolutely my choice. No matter how many of them girls stood in line pining because I didn't marry them, they could pine or they pined away. It wouldn't make no difference. My choice was Carol. Let me say it this way in the proper order. God's choice was Carol, and I was just smart enough to agree with His choice. Glory. That was really it, because He was watching out for me. But you realize then, if I had a choice as a human being as my bride, then God surely would be to attribute that God has that same choice. So we know that in the Old Testament, it was mirrored in the way that God dealt with Israel, that He chose them and called them out and separated them and made them a different type of people. Most of Christendom today would believe in a rapture. If we would ask most of the Baptists, most of the Methodists, some of the Pentecostals still don't believe in it, but for the most part, most people would say they believe in a rapture. Most of them would say that most Christians would go. There would be some that would have an isolated group. Well, no, only those that's baptized in Jesus' name only. And then others say, no, only if you're a serpent handler. Others would say, no, you got to believe this. Others say that. Well, we come to the message, and then we find people say, no, only those who believe in the tent, and only those who believe in this, only those, and only those, and only those. And that's what you get when people go to making the guidelines. Because people then will make the guidelines and the boundaries, and they will put in, of course, themselves first, and then whoever's associated with them and whoever they like. And then if they don't like you, guess what? You're out in the cold. But you see, God never gave the boundary to any of us. God never gave the boundary to Brother Branham. God never gave the boundary to Paul. But the boundary is actually God's own choice. Now, God would enlighten the ministry and give certain qualifications to the anointed men of God so they would know how to preach the qualifications inside that boundary. But that within itself is not their own protocol. It's not for me to say, well, everybody that will go on the rapture will do this or this or this. What I must do is take it back and see what's already been said before us and then re-preach the decreed boundary. That is not for me to say. That is not for you to say, well, this person can, that one can, that one can't. Well, everybody that don't wear red dresses can go. Any man that wears whatever color shirt this can't go. Well, I'm sure glad it's not your choice, because me and Brother Hornbowles would be hurting. Both of us wore the same color shirt to church today. What if somebody said, any man that wears a lime green shirt ain't going in the rapture? So that means Brother Dow and Brother Matt Keith is out. And you, and you, and you, and you. I'm glad people can't set this choice. But yet there is a boundary by which it has been declared that only a certain class type of people will be able to go in the rapture. Now always, as always, it is man's nature to want to finagle with God's boundary. Man can never leave well enough alone. He always wants to either enlarge it, he wants to expand it, or he wants to pull it in and make it smaller and smaller and smaller to us and our four and no more. Tell me, what would you and your four want to do in heaven as big as that place is going to be? Tell me, Brother Jim, what would you and Sister Linda and Liz and Scotty and Ash and Courtney, if that's all that you figured was going to go, what in the name of God would you all do in that great big place? What in the world would we do if Happy Valley was the only ones going? I don't want to go by myself. I don't want to be the only one going there. I don't even have that thinking. I don't want to keep people out. I want everybody to go that can go. It's not even in my makeup to throw this and out. Look, friend, I know of no one, absolutely no one, that I would want to see lost. I know of no one I would want to see go to hell and perish and be annihilated and absolutely done away with. And if there's someone you're thinking of that, let me stop this service and make an altar call so you can get right with God. There shouldn't be anything. Oh, you say, well, everybody won't. Sure they won't. But it's not even His will that any should perish. If He feels that way and we're His children, shouldn't we feel the same way?
Now, the first rapture that ever happened on the earth wasn't for everybody. As a matter of fact, it was for one man, Enoch. The next rapture that happened on the earth wasn't for everybody. It was for Elijah, one man. The New Testament rapture, which come after the death, burial, resurrection of our Lord, wasn't for everybody. It was for a certain group of people, right, that were included in His resurrection and rapture. So then we can see then for the raptures which have already previously taken place, they were not for everybody. They were not even for all of Israel. They were not even for all the good people. They were only for people that God selected out for whatever reason in order to be in the rapture. Well then, if we find this as God's pattern, would not the rapture in the last day be exactly the same way? That it would be absolutely God's choice. It would be Him the one to do it. Now, notice this. Jesus says, except the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh should be saved. But for the elect's sake. Now, notice what He's going to do. That He will actually shorten the time for the elect's sake. Not for His sake. Not for the angel's sake. You think of this. That God will actually shorten the days for the elect's sake, because the trouble will be so difficult in the last days. The sorrows will be so unbearable. The trouble in the world, the hardship, the difficulty that we go through, that God said, for the sake of mine elect, I will actually shorten the days. And you think you don't have favor in heaven? Oh my. But for the elect's sake, whom He hath chosen. And remember, this is Jesus speaking. Look at this word chosen. To pick out, choose. To pick or choose for oneself. Notice now, of God choosing whom He judged fit to receive His favors and separated from the rest of mankind, to be peculiarly His own, to be attended continually by His gracious oversight of God the Father choosing Christians as those whom He set apart from the irregular. Notice that how it's going to come from the rest of the multitude as dear unto Himself. Now this is God's own choice that Jesus now is reiterating to us, that God will choose the elect and for their sake He will actually shorten the days, and for their sake He will give to them a peculiar care, a special care, for God so loved the world. But now this is in a general term. This is a general way of looking at it. God loved the world. Jesus died that sinners might be saved, right? God so loved the world, not God so loved the bride, but God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And the church said, amen. Remember, your name was on that book of life, and if God would have chose to do so, He could have spoke you into existence, and there would have been no need of Calvary. There would have been no need of Calvary had He desired to spoke you into existence. But had there not been a Calvary, there would not have been a Lot type. There would have not have been a foolish virgin type. There would have not been all these others. When Calvary's all said and done, all of those whose names are in that Lamb's Book of Life, they was there before Calvary. They will be there after Calvary. They would be there before there was a Calvary, because they are part of the Word. Notice in Ephesians 1:3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world. Now look what you're chosen to. That we should be worldly, ungodly, filthy, living like the devil. Oh no, if you're really in the election of God, you're going to live a holy life. You can't even keep from it. Do you understand? If you are chosen, I'm struggling. Move into where God wants you to be, my friend. It is a principle of divine law in the bride to live a godly life. Oh, sure, this old body ain't saved. We know that. We're not even talking about that thing no how. It's got to be born again. I'm talking about that inside of the inside. It's just as normal and natural for the elect of God to live holy as it is for a drunk to want whiskey on Saturday night. It's just as normal for the elect of God to live a holy life as it is a man to draw off of a cigarette. It's just as natural to the seed of God. So He's chosen us to be holy and without blame. Well, if that's the way He wants me, that's the way He'll get me. Neither you nor me is going to stop that. Having predestinated us, predetermining our destiny. Predestination is not really so mean and so bad when you're really looking at it the right way. It's not that God looked out there and saw the end result of it all, but God could predestinate from foreknowledge. You see, it ain't that He's standing way back here and looking way down the stream of time. Okay, He will, she won't, she will, she will, she will, she will, He will, they will. No, God looks back here from the back part of His mind. And He pulls from Himself this special class of people which will live down through time. So it's not that He's predetermined because He looks out here at the end. Oh my, I see they will. No, He's pulling from back here these attributes in His own thinking. And He predetermines and throws them out there. So it's not just that He determines your destiny, but He ties back to your origination. Oh, glory. It's not that God saw one day Donnie would make up his mind and Donnie would be a good little boy. God knows Donnie ain't no count. God knows Donnie ain't no good and you're the same way. But God looked at what was. He was before He become Donnie. Oh my. All you know is Donnie. What I want to know is what was I before I became Donnie? Who was I? What was I? Where did I come from before I was Donnie? Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself according to the good pleasure of His last will and testament. To the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He has made. I have been made acceptable. I want you to look at this word made. Be highly favored. To make graceful. Charming. Lovely, agreeable. You talking about a miracle. Some of you were so mean you couldn't even live with yourself. And God has made you agreeable. God has made us. God has made us lovely and holy and righteous and pure and agreeable. How did I become that? I was made that. Wherein He has made highly favored to make graceful, charming, lovely, agreeable, to pursue with grace. You see, you struck Jesus. You struck His heart. Way back before there's ever any atoms or molecules or light, He was lovesick. He was smitten by you. And He started pursuing you with grace. Oh, glory. You boys remember how you fell in love. Boy, you met that girl of yours, that one wife that you married later on. And oh, my. You couldn't eat because of her. You couldn't sleep because of her. Everything just wasn't right. You just had to be around her. Oh, my. Well, I tell you, there's a divine something that goes in that same way. he couldn't stay in heaven for her. Oh, she so smote his heart that he couldn't stay in heaven. He couldn't stay a God. He couldn't stay up there. He had to come down here. He was so love struck. He said, I've got to go get her. I've got to bring her back. I've got to make a way. So to pursue with grace, compass with favor, to honor with blessings. Wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. I don't know about you. I have wanted all my life to be accepted. I remember as a little boy standing out on the playground at school wanting friends. I remember as a teenager wanting friends. Been made like that because I was a holy roller. Went to church, wouldn't cuss, wouldn't drink, wouldn't smoke, wouldn't do all that. It was one of the deepest memories that I have as a child is wanting to be accepted and always being rejected. But I'm glad I can stand before you today and tell you I have been accepted. Oh, glory. I wasn't accepted by the Beta Club, the Glee Club, the Ford Club, the Chevy Club, the Dodge Club, the In Club, the Out Club, the No Club, the Yes Club. I have been accepted in the Beloved. My brother, sister, what greater acceptance could you and I long for than to be accepted in the Beloved? Notice in verse 7, in whom we have redemption through His blood. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. Now I want you to keep this in mind now. All scriptures do not apply to all classes of people. All scriptures do not apply to all classes of people. God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. That don't apply to me in the sense of me being by nature of cosmos, because I was not. So whenever we look at this, now keep in mind, only those to whom it is written will ever fully walk into the full bounty of these scriptures. Notice in verse 8, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence. Look at this meaning of this word. I love the meanings of these words. Abounded, exceed, increase. To exceed a fixed number of measure. Now look how God wants to make Himself known to you. He don't even want to have a boundary or a limitation. He wants to express Himself beyond what you could even count, think, weigh, or measure. Notice, not that we have abounded toward Him, but He hath abounded toward us to be left over and above. A certain number or measure to abound, overflow, to be abundantly furnished with, to have an abundance, abound in a sin, to be affluent, to be preeminent, to excel more than, exceed. That sounds like rapture stuff to me. You understand what the rapture will be? It will be an abounding of the final stage of grace. That He's given you by measure, by measure, by measure, by measure. On that appointed time, what will rapture and grace be? It will be the last little measure that you need to push you into that final stage. Abounding is used of a flower going from a bud to a full bloom. Here's the body change. That's a flower. You're growing, toiling, growing, toiling, growing, toiling. And the last little burst at that morning, you will open it up. It'll be the same life, the same grace, the same power that has abounded when you was out there in the world and pulled you away from there, filled you with the Holy Ghost, opened the Word to you, and you abounded from one revelation to another. You struggle with God sent a prophet. Some of you sisters struggle with your hair and your makeup and this and that and the other. But God helped you to abound to another stage. And you abounded to another stage. And here you are still abounding and abounding and abounding. But here you are like this. Your hidden beauty, your real glory is still on the inside. Amen. But one day you will come forth and a full blossom life. Notice in 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 9. Now the apostles believed in election, in choosing, in predestination. We're supposed to be a church that's restored back to the apostolic doctrine, right? Notice Peter says, ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. Now, actually, these expressions here that Peter uses is a combination of Exodus 19, verses 5 to 6, and Isaiah 43, 20 and 21. And he takes both of these passages of Scripture and he merges them together. Now, he's going from the Old Testament shadow of Israel, because this is what God told them. You'll be a nation of priests to me. You'll be a holy people, separate from all the rest of the world. Now, as they were in the Old Testament, so are the elect in the New Testament. A chosen genos. A chosen generation. Not one now. Not one person, and that one person is the big shot, and everybody else is under. But all of you are of the same genos. The same generation. God does not have grandkids, great-grandkids, great-great-grandkids, great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandkids. God has all children. So you are a chosen generation. All of you stand before the cross on the same level. No big ones, no little ones, no medium size. You're all right there before the cross. Oh. Notice he says a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. That you should show forth the praises of him. And this means the attributes. The attributes of God. Notice in verse 10 now, as Peter says, by which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Now, he takes this again from Hosea chapter 1 verse 6, where God spoke about Israel in the parallel, and he called her Lo-Hurama, and that was, you are not my people. But then he moves on over a couple chapters and he changes her name and says, you are now my people. So what are we saying? That God has always dealt special blessings to a special people. And they're not special because they think they're special. They're special because he says they're special. Let me look at yourself and see a 6 foot, 175 pound dirtbag. But God looks down inside that dirt bag and pulls back all the hair and all the muck and all the gum and all that sort of thing. And God sees an attribute. And God says, my special son, my special daughter. Yet they look like everybody else. They may act like everybody else as far as their flesh is concerned. They have human flesh. They have human weakness. But down on the inside, there's something that God says, this is my special son. Notice in John how he writes this in 2 John chapter 1 verse 1. The elder unto the elect lady and her children, whom I love in the truth. Not only I, but also all they that have known the truth. For the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us, shall be with us forever. So here is one lady that is pulled out from amongst the rest of the ladies in this first church age. Called the elect lady. I love this in a visible union. I know you're familiar with it. Brother Ben says, may I add to this woman grace? Do you know you had a name change? Your name is now Grace. I know it sounds funny. Donnie Grace, Jerry Grace, Amos Grace. But God knows Amos and Donnie and Jerry all need grace. And so do all the rest of you poor mortals sitting here. Now watch how, Brother Branham, we are not only recipients of, but our name. Remember what Brother Terry told us last night, that your name is your character. So now we're not only recipients of grace, but we are actually renamed. May I add to this woman grace? May I place her in the Bible? Also is called the elect lady. This Miss Grace. Miss Grace? Wow. Boy, if I had a change or what? I went from disgrace to misgrace. Y'all go ahead and say amen, because y'all did too. I was a disgrace to humanity. I was a disgrace, and you was too. And I went from disgrace to misgrace. Notice, for the bride, the church world will receive grace for pardoning of their sins. They will receive grace to help them in time of need of this and that and the other. But will they receive grace to the measure that they can actually be changed and their nature becomes grace? But to the elect lady, she not only receives this, she actually takes on what this is in so much that she's called it. Lord Jesus. She's called the elect lady, this Miss Grace. I'm going to talk about now. The Bible says to the elect lady that if you notice, elect comes from the word elected lady. One lady amongst all the other ladies. One lady amongst all the other ladies. So she's not the only lady. She's not the only church. She's not the only one preaching the gospel in a sense. She's one lady amongst a bunch of ladies. You passed a bunch of ladies coming to this lady today. Some of y'all could have drove 5 minutes. No doubt there's a lady right next to your community. You could have went by another lady. There's another one down here. One that way. One that way. One that way. One that way. They're all around us everywhere. But there's one amongst all the ladies. Glory. Notice this. Like the virgin was to bring forth the body of God on the earth. She was an elected woman. God chose Mary. And also God has chosen an elected lady, which is His bride. She's elected. I hope we're members of that tonight. Across the world, across the nation. Now notice this. Brother Donnie, do you know that you're one of them? I do not. I'm not bribed by knowledge. I believe. I'm not saved by knowing this or knowing that. That's why knowledge of the message won't put you in. You're not saved by knowing. I'm not even saved by understanding. I'm saved because I'm a part of Him and I accept His perpetuation for that. Now, what's this in question and answers? Just because you've accepted Christ as personal Savior, that doesn't mean you're going to be in the rapture. Oh my. So who's going then? You mean people that accept Jesus as their Savior? Lord Jesus, forgive me of my sins. And He would reach over in His side and take their old book and say, I forgive you all your past. And throw those sins in the sea of forgiveness. That person will not be included in the rapture? No. Not according to the guidelines. Oh, and I forgot to tell you this morning, we're not voting on this. It's the way it is. It's not up for debate nor discussion. It's already said. It's just the way it is. Right. Notice this. That doesn't mean you're going to be in the rapture. That's for the elect that are going to the rapture. There'll be a remnant left on the earth that'll go through the persecution, the great tribulation. The church will be caught up in the rapture. Now, who is the rapture for? Well, what's it going to? The rapture is going to a wedding supper. Now, your brothers and sisters that got married, whether it's last month or 20 years ago or 50 years ago, when y'all went on your honeymoon, who all did y'all take with you? Her mom and dad, your mom and dad, your 13 brothers, 18 sisters, your aunts, your uncles, your brothers, your sisters, and all of you got one suite. If that happened on mine, I'd have moved out the suite and let them have it. How come you didn't take everybody with you? You mean you didn't allow your mama to go, Brother Skip? Come on, what kind of guy are you? Your daddy didn't go, Brother Greg? Your uncle, your brother, your niece, your nephew, ain't just a family thing?
You mean you invited them to the wedding and you accepted their wedding gift and wouldn't let them go with you on the honeymoon? What's the matter with you people? Sensible. You see, foolish virgin aren't allowed on this honeymoon. And people won't go because of your mama, your daddy, your uncle, your niece, your nephew. They go because they are bride. I know this gets tough and it cuts right down the home because no doubt there's folks sitting here right today that will not be in the rapture. There's all kinds of folks around this message that will not be in the rapture. It ain't because they cut their hair. It ain't because they sneak and put makeup on. It's because they're not elected to do it. If they were a part of that word, you wouldn't have to beat them over the head and beat them over the head. Oh, friend, you don't know what it's like to be a pastor to try to show people the right way. And they'll stand right there and look at you and do their own thing anyhow. And you know what you realize? Some of them cannot do it. They just can't do it and they never will. But to the bride, she will because she is the word. She's elected to that position. Can you imagine you marrying the love of your life? Your very best friend. You've planned and waited and waited. You've spent so much money, or your daddy did, to get all this thing ready. And then you get married and the preacher says you may now kiss your wife. Or you eat the cake and you do all of that. And then your wife says, I ain't going with you. I've never been with a man before. I ain't going with you. I'm going back home with mama. Thought of it scares me. It bothers me. We're going to Hawaii. I ain't never been on no plane before. This is your honeymoon. Well, if mama can go, come and have a room with two doubles. Will your mama enjoy your doubles? Come on now, church. Don't get quiet. If you and I was picking for the rapture, who wouldn't you pick?
Well, I know I'd be somebody's first pick, no doubt.
Who wouldn't you pick? Is there anybody you'd want not to go? So God don't leave the choice up to the bride. He made the choice.
Watch this again, question and answer. Jesus told his disciples that he was with them, and he chose them, and he knew them before the foundation of the world was ever laid. Is that right? God places the pattern. Now there will be an elect that'll go in the rapture, and there will be a group of people. Some of these are ones you like and work with and think they're good people. There will be a group of people that's good, upright, holy living, God-saved people that will not. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Some of you brothers that married a woman, there might actually have been a better woman standing there that viewed your wedding. You're not saying, man, brothers, don't even move. I mean, don't move an eyelash. Lord, I'll be counseling for 6 months if I don't handle this right. Maybe a woman that had more money, more wealth, more social standing. What meant the most to you? Social standing? That woman that you could look into her eyes and it's like your and her soul knit together. It was beyond the eyes, beyond the eyelashes, beyond her soft, delicate hands, beyond her tender voice. But it's like you looked into something and she looked into something and it's like it went, whoa! A mate that stepped out of eternity together into a body called time. There are people, no doubt, that will outwork us, out-sing us, out-worthy of heaven and everything else. So I'll tell you some of the ones that you look at that God has chose. He went plumb down on the bottom of the garbage heap.
He went down on the lowest part of the scrap pile, Brother Jim, and he went down there and picked up the downcast, the low, the no good, the sorry. Oh, my church didn't want them. Church members didn't want them. Some of them, even the devil sold them away and wouldn't have nothing to do with them. But Jesus said, this one's mine. His name is on the book. This one's mine. Hallelujah. He makes his reputation among such folks. And notice this, there will be an elected or go in the rapture, and there will be a group of people that's good, upright, holy living, God saved people. My friends, we have done a very great error in this message by preaching that nobody is saved but us. We have fought that denominational thing, not realizing we've been anointed by that same devil. Thinking we're the only ones. There's going to be ones there more than us. There's good people, holy people, God-saved people. And the very reason they're not in the rapture, it's not because they're not good. Not because they're not even God-saved. They're not elect. Now, this is the way God looks at it. So if you and I don't look at it that way, I would advise us to change the way we look at it. Because I don't figure he's going to. Notice this. Will only those who have the baptism of the Holy Ghost be in the rapture of the church? Or will all believers be indicated? Only the Holy Ghost bride will be in the rapture scene. The Bible, the strictly the others, won't be lost. Who's going to judge the earth? The saints. Daniel said, I saw him come with the Ancient of Time, and he come with 10,000 times 10,000 of his saints. The rapture of the church had done gone. They'd done come down, and the judgment was said, and the books was open. And another book was open, which was the book of life, the sanctified believer that hadn't received the Holy Ghost. Can I go on? Notice again, God has promised that we're going in the rapture by... There are still some good holiness people in this world. You folks that go over to Kingsport, you see them apostolic folks over there all the time, and their dresses is much longer than some of you all. Some of them have never wear to church or anywhere else what some of you all wear. That don't mean we condone it either. If it's wrong, it's wrong. I don't care who you are. But some of them will keep wearing their long dresses. Some of them would never do this or do that. Or, oh my, they got such standards and such strict things that they go by. That's not it. We're not included in the rapture because we go to church three times a week. We tithe on our gross instead of our net, or vice versa. And we pay tithes on our onions, tithes on our maters, tithes on our taters. And my, we do all these good things. I do, work. That's not it. Your ticket to the rapture is election. Brother Donnie, what if I'm not elected? What if I believe the message and I'm coming to church and I'm living a life like this and I'm not elected? Shouldn't I just throw it all away and go out there and go to the world? There'll be none of them folks even be there. The way I look at it, if I ain't even bride, I'd rather live this life than live for him. Oh yeah. God's been so good to me. If I'm not even elect, I'll tell you one thing, I ain't got no right to complain. He heals me when I'm sick. He lifts me up when I'm down. He's privileged to me to preach to his wife around the world. He's privileged me to rub shoulders with some of the greatest men of God that live in this century. Oh, I'm so blessed. And you know what? If I'm not going in the rapture, I'm going to keep on living, preaching, doing what's right. Because I want to be one of them good God-saved people that'll come up in the second resurrection. But somehow, I just can't hardly believe I can love him the way I love him and not be first resurrection boy. Anybody over here know what I'm talking about? You feel the same way? Now watch this. God has promised that we're going in the rapture by election. The Bible said the rest of the dead live not for 1,000 years. Is that right? So only you'll not be lost, but the Holy Ghost filled bride will go in the rapture. Get the next two quotes, brothers. Let's go down to the next one. Question and answers. Page 433. The Holy Ghost filled people in the first resurrection, the elect. The rest of the dead lived not for 1,000 years, after the millennium, then the second resurrection. Who is the rapture for? The wife. The Jewish attendants don't even get to go. The Jewish remnant don't get to go. The Gentile remnant don't get to go. This is him taking her from the huppah into the bridal chamber. Now the huppah, as you remember me preaching on that, when a Jewish boy was born, they plant a certain type of tree when he was born. And a Jewish girl, another type of tree. They would let that grow and grow as they grew. When they would get married, they would cut down that tree, which represented his life and her life. And they would make the poles under the huppah, the tent. Under the tent, they would come under the significance of the tree of life. Under the significance of the tree of life and under the huppah. Glory. They would make their vows to be binding in the last stage, which had been started a year ago in the engagement. Under the huppah, it was there that all the community witnessed. From there, the bridegroom would take his bride through the bridal chamber. How come they didn't call it the bridegroom chamber? Bridegroom's the head of the house, ain't he? Why would they call it a bridal chamber? Why is this city likened to a bride, not a bridegroom? John didn't say, I saw that city descending from God out of heaven as a bridegroom, but as a bride. She has went into the bridal chamber and she has come out. Now she is abounding in the furthermost part of her glory through eternity. Her identity will be written up and down them walls. It'll be written in the foundations. It'll be written in the type of material that the gates are made out of. It'll be made out of pearl, which was the significance of the parable. The Lord Jesus showing us that once we really find Him, we sell everything we've got and we get that pearl of great price. Your identity, your battles, your struggles, your victories, your foundation is written all up and down that entire city for eternity. I wish somehow he'd be able to get it over to us how much he really loves us. And we think he don't even care. We think he don't even know where we live. He don't even know if you're dead or you're alive. He knows so much more about you than you'll ever know about yourself. Watch this. I love this. And watch what Jesus called Christ. Someone said the other day, I was talking, said, Brother Branham, you don't believe in the church will go through the tribulation? I said, I believe the church will. But not the bride. The church will go through the tribulation, yes sir! But the bride is free from it. She'll go in the rapture. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, she'll be called up to meet her Lord in the air for the wedding supper. She has nothing to go through any tribulation period about. Her Lord has paid her price. Friend, this is the way we are allowed to go. We would go through that too, were it not for the grace of God. But the total ransoming power of the Lord Jesus has completely paid your price and gave you His last will and testament. And to the bride, He will to you a resurrection or a body change. That's not included in the church's will. Oh, Lord Jesus. Notice this in the rapture. Now, the rapture is only this rapture that we're talking about.
is only for the bride. Remember the Bible said the rest of the dead live not for 1,000 years. This great rapture, if there's not a rapture, friends, where are we at? What are we going to do? What age are we living in? We can all say amen to that, can't we? What promise do we have? There's going to be a rapture, the Bible says there will be. It will be only for the elected, the elect lady. Look, friends, if you could only realize there's preachers in this message that are preaching Baptist, Methodist, Church of God, denominational people that don't even believe this message are going in the rapture with the living saints. You cannot believe how many preachers are preaching this. And I tell you from this pulpit, it is error and false doctrine, according to the very message of God that I've read to you today. So if Bob Harry Baptist can go, why can't a Bob Harry Message woman go? So if women with lipstick and their faces all made up and all that sort of thing, if they can go out there and do it and live any kind of life they want to do, then why can't our women start doing the same thing and go in the rapture too? Well, glory! Remember, you're predestinated to a holy life. And there's one woman in the Bible that painted her face and God fed her to the dogs. And I just done a search on makeup yesterday and I couldn't find nowhere where Brother Branham ever changed his view on such a thing. Said, you women wearing makeup claiming you got the Holy Ghost. Said, if you had the Holy Ghost, it'd make you stop doing that. I believe in makeup, but I believe it's from the inside. A divine makeup by divine nature. Well, praise the Lord. Somebody didn't like that. Which one of you women was it? Look me in the eye. Hey, I'm not redefining the boundaries. I'm not adding to it. I'm just saying what's already been declared by a vindicated prophet of God. Amen. Now, if you want to take your opinion over a prophet, go ahead. But you will not make the rapture with it. Amen. Myself, we're too late in time to be worrying about how close I can get to the world. How close can I get? Oh, my, how close can I get? I want to get as far away as I can. I don't want to hug the bank. I don't want to get as close to sin. I want to get away from anything that hinders me with God. Friends, the lights of the city are almost in view. It's unbelievable how many folks are turning away from the message. I hear about it all the time from different people around the world. It's incredible how many people are turning and going back to denominational churches. The Bible said they would. Hogs and dogs. That's the way hogs and dogs do. Sheep don't do that. Huh? You ever seen a dog eat its vomit? No lunch for y'all today. I've never quite understood that myself. I've watched it a time or two, just curious, you know. I'm a curious person, just to try to understand how could that happen. How could that happen? How could a person who sat under the reveal word turn and go back to some old whore, some old prostitute system that was not satisfying them 40 years ago? And how in the world is it going to satisfy now, Brother Larry? But the elect are pressing on. The elect are pressing on. Will there be more turn away? There will. Will there be folks turn from our church? They will. But will the elect? They will not. They cannot, because they are part of this word. They'll die for it. They'll lay down their life. They're doing it every day now. Oh my. Notice this. There must be a condition, an order, that will parallel the bride's going. Watch this. In 1950, the church was not there yet at this time. We're in the latter day. You believe that? We are. The world is in the spirit of the latter days. But the church is not in the latter day spirit yet.
All right, so the world then was already ahead of the church. The world was coming into science, coming into, you know, astronaut studies and this and that and the other. But the church was still in Pentecost. Now watch, the church must be led into the spirit of the last days, the spirit of the rapture. In other words, we may be in a portion, but God wants His church so in the spirit till they'll fit just anywhere God would lead them to. Ah. So you mean us finding our position is part of the spirit of the last days. I know some of you men get tired of hearing me saying it, but you ain't going nowhere with God until you find your place in your family. Be the right kind of husband, the right kind of daddy, all that sort of thing. You ain't going nowhere with God. You'll never amount to a hill of beans. Never. God judges us many times our mature level on how we deal with money, how we deal with responsibilities and families. We want miracles, signs, wonders, great power to do this, that, and other, and can't even know how to manipulate our own home. There's something wrong. Uh-oh, now somebody else got mad. Notice this. He says, my, look, eating, drinking, marrying, giving a marriage, all the immorals that's in the world. The devil sent down his troops in the latter-day spirit. But we ministers, notice plural form, we ministers haven't got the church yet in that spirit. We must be in that condition in order to be called away in the rapture when He comes back. So the world in 1950 had already advanced farther than the church was. So it's the responsibility of the ministers. Watch this on the church. God's just now, 3 years later, 1953. God's just now loosening up the church everywhere. Getting it in order now so He can get into the rapture. Got to give it rapturing faith before it can go in the rapture. We've got to get in the spirit of the last days when the last days are here. Part of the spirit of the last days is homosexuality. After in the world, I mean. In time, you put it on television, you put it in movies, it desensitizes people's thinking about it. Oh, you're 20 years ago when they did a survey on homosexuality. Oh no, most of the Americans totally against it, but not so in the last 6 months. Oh, they've changed now. As it goes on another few years, it'll be less and less and less and less that will oppose it. Come on, church. Years and years ago, for somebody just to shack up, as we call it, while they was looked down, they was the scum of the community. Now they're the mayor. But folks don't look down on folks shacking up and having girlfriends. My Lord, they do it in the message. You know, if they do it there, they're going to do it everywhere else. What is it? Spirit of the last days. Spirit of the last days. Everybody wants their rights. Everybody wants their ideas. Spirit of the last days. But there's another spirit moving among the bride. What is that spirit? To be one with the Word. Not my will, Father, but Thy will be done. Oh, glory. Notice this. You've got to go to church. I love this. He says, you've got to get in the spirit of the last days when the last days are here. You go to a dance hall, you've got to get in the spirit of dancing or you won't dance. Now, you imagine folks who are running to these shindigs or what are these deals all around here in Johnson City. I don't know what they are. I've never been in one in my life, so I don't really know what to do. But you imagine they go in, they got the old guitar. And everybody's saying, he's boring me. I'm so bored, I'm going to go to the house and shoot myself. But you watch what will happen. What's happening? What that man's doing is coming into their body. Ooh. Giving them a temporary body change. Maybe they come in, they're all down and all wore out, and more of that old honky-tonk and stuff, or that old blues, or that old whatever it is they're listening to, that old rap stuff, go to banging their heels around, you know, rapping around. Man, their body takes on that. Don't you understand why we need to go to church and get in the house of God? What does it do? It brings us into the spirit of where the bride is right now. Oh, glory!
Imagine the musician sits there, they just pick all night long. They just sit there and play. They all dismiss and go home and say, "Shall I go to dance last night?" We win. But nobody danced. What? Yeah, I was down honky tonk from 3 in the evening to 3 in the morning. Nobody danced. Nobody let their hair down. Nobody just, everybody just sit around and looked at one. They don't do that, but we sure do. They go to. Then we come to church and I'm like, and watch those somebody. Glory, hallelujah, hallelujah. Say, watch them old Pentecostal. I'm getting a body change. My body just is part of the spirit. These brothers emanate from these musical instruments. If they can do that with a guitar playing rock and roll, what about an anointed musician playing an organ or a piano? If David could play and drive them evil spirits away, cannot Holy Ghost-filled musicians do the same thing? Lord of mercy. You go to a dance hall, you got to get in the spirit of dancing. Or they won't dance. You got to go to church. You got to get in the spirit of worship before you can worship. The world's got to get in the spirit of the last days. Listen to this. Before the last days can come. It's not like the last days just whoop, and they're not ready. It's like it's progressed. And as the conditions and the times and things have changed, spirits have emanated with the changes and got on the minds of the people, the mentality, their thinking through politics, through television, through media, through internet, all these sort of things, to word that the people themselves are now enveloped into the spirit of the last days. Let me tell you one thing. Let me just sound a trumpet. If the world's been doing that, what about Almighty God? There ain't no way in the world that Almighty God's just been sitting around and said, "Well, I guess I'm behind the time. Oh no, friend. God has already done it too. He's right here among us. He's right here among us in our church. Anointing us with the spirit of the last days," which is what? Not campaigns. We're not called to go out and empty out the hospitals. We're called to empty out these bodies. Then it goes, watch this, the world has got to get in the spirit of the last days before the last days can come. And we're in the spirit of the last days. Uh-oh. 1954. Moved from 50 when there wasn't. 53 where it started opening up. Now in 54, it's moving. Where would we be in 2012? God's promised these things would be here. This is what we've got. We're in the last days and men and women are sitting asleep. Let's stand. Brothers, I'm way, way over, several pages over. And Lord, show us the Father and it sufficeth us. Brother Bam says, we're planted together in Christ Jesus, who is the inexhaustible fountain of life. We're planted in Christ. We just drink and drink and drink and push out. And everything we have need of for our earthly journey, divine healing, the power of God, all these other things, is in every individual in here that's received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. For you're planted in Christ. Hallelujah. The Holy Ghost baptism. Yes, sir. Everything you have need of for this life's journey, even the rapture. It's right in you. Then. Now watch the very next paragraph. Don't resent that. Now what would make people resent that if it was not an evil spirit? A spirit against truth. Don't resent that. That's the truth. The rapture is in us now. I'll prove it by the gospel. Those he has called is justified. Those he's justified is glorified. Hallelujah. Then in heaven today, we're glorified in the presence of God right now. I'm just pushing out to it. Amen. Glory. God and his word. Do you believe it? Very next one. All that God can do for you, he did in Jesus Christ. Your work of redemption for your soul and body is completed. Even to your rapture is already completed. And let me show you how hard it's going to be. Let me show you how hard the rapture is going to be. Junction of time, next quote. Noah was building an ark. He was not only working a miracle. He was preparing for a miracle. Now the church today is not only having miracles, but it's preparing for a miracle. The coming of the Lord Jesus Christ and the rapture of the church to be taken up. Give me a church ready. Visualize to see signs and see the omnipotent God, the great power of God moving amongst, oh my, moving amongst the people. Think of it, friends. Moving amongst the people. What's the rapture will be. An easy thing. When Jesus comes, they'll be caught up. Because they believe in such. Now, if you don't believe in miracles, the rapture is very, very difficult for you. Because you're not experiencing them now. You're not experiencing supernatural, you're not experiencing miracles. But if you're experiencing miracles in your life, the rapture will be an easy thing. It's only another miracle. I love the laws of God and the laws of life. Fall makes me, you know, fall is beautiful. It has its beautiful leaves and all that, but I have a feeling of sadness when you see it. Because the leaves are falling off and except for a few of the oaks and a few of those scrub trees like that, most of them will be gone. They won't come back till next spring. And the woods will have that gray look that the trees get. And then you look at them and I ponder them. I look at the flowers and I like plants and flowers and trees and things like that. And I think, what happens to them? Where does it go? And yet in early spring, little buds of life start coming up and shoot you and think, boy, it might have been 10 below. It might have been freezing. It might have been frost and this and that and the other. And I've been in Canada in the wintertime and it's 40 below zero. So cold, and me walk out of the building soaking wet, more wet than I am right now. They'd pull the car right up close to the door. I mean, 2 feet from the door to keep me from turning into an icicle once I step out in the cold. 40 below zero. And then people standing there start talking like you do out here at, you know, 50 above. And yet, all of those things that are barehanded there in the spring. And then you go back to the same place where it was 40 below. Stand out there on the lake and ice fish. With ice so deep, you'd have to bore holes down in the ice. And you know, in the spring, go back and bear hunt in the same place and see those things abounding with life. Did it come up overnight? No. Come through justification, sanctification, baptism, the Holy Ghost. Through months and months of toil and labor, through trials and tests and failures and fears. But then it abounds, and one day it moves from this. This is what I'm waiting for. I'm not a tree. I've got leaves. I've got bark. I've got sap. I've got life. This is what I'm waiting for. When it'll come, and I'll do. Because when you and I do this, all of nature will know its groaning is over. Oh, glory to God. Who is the rapture for? Me. Me. You? Me. Brother Donnie, how do you know you're elect? You said you didn't know. I don't know. I believe. Isaiah didn't say who has known our report, but who has believed our report. It's not who knows the message, but who believes it. Jesus didn't say, who knows this and who knows that, but do you now believe? Lord, I believe. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I pray today that you'd take these simple thoughts. make them real to our hearts. Lord God, what a responsibility that we as ministers have to help lead the people into the Spirit needful and necessary for the last days. They're bombarded every day of their life. They're bombarded with advertisements, billboards. Now, Lord, they have access to sin and wrong via a smartphone. Years ago, a man would have to go into a little old store and sneak around behind and pick up a magazine and go out and look at things he shouldn't. Then it changed to where he could sneak around and look at it on a television. Now he can sneak and look at it on his phone. Lord God, it's advancing, constantly moving on. And we know you will not be outdone. So if sin is moving at such a rapid pace, Lord, some of us no older than we are, we have seen it progress in such a rapid pace. Then Lord, may our eyes be open to see the gospel. It's done exactly the same. Help us, I pray, Father. My daddy would have never believed, and he ain't been gone but just a few years. His daddy would never believe what things have been led up to in this day. Then, Lord God, may it be that way in the spirit realm as well. Brother Bram said, if I go off the scene, they'll come even greater than this. Of course, we in the message won't allow that to happen. Because that old spirit of organization wants to get around us and not let us move no farther. No, we'll stay right here and we'll dry up and we'll die and blow away. But the bride will be alive and well when you come, Lord. We're not looking for no new messenger. We're not looking for no new idea. But we want what we've been reading all these years to be made more new and more real to our lives. Grant it, Lord Jesus. I pray you'd help us today, Father. If there's a one standing here that feels that call upon their soul and they've never entered into the Holy Ghost, may this be the day, Lord Jesus. And I pray. We love you, Father. I pray for encouragement. I pray for healing for those that are sick. Strength for those that are weak. Lord, I believe if I'm in the grave or if I'm alive, I will be included in this change. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Can we just raise our hands now? I just imagine you're the little bride. I've performed many, many weddings, and the night before the practice, they'll say, now everybody be here tomorrow at a certain time. And the bride always gets you early. They put her back here in one of these nurseries. Hang things over the windows so nobody can see in while she's getting prepared. She gets her dress on, gets her flowers, gets her hair all rolled. You know, gets everything all ready and they make some pictures and all that sort of thing. She's there anxiously awaiting. She may be there for hours and hours before you all start coming in. Because it's her day. It's her time of preparation. Oh, may God help us. We can be in our preparation chamber. Fixing our hair as it was. Getting the wrinkles out of our dress. For the bride will be without spot, without wrinkle, without any such thing. May our wedding garment be so brilliant and spotless. There'll be no spots of a milkshake, no spots of a coffee, or nothing touched and tainted by the world. No wrinkles. May we be in the image of one who will be worthy to marry such a bridegroom. That's the way you feel in your heart tonight. You want to be like that bride, nervously. Anxiously awaiting. As I've sitting here this pulpit, Brother Louie told me before church, I'd be here 25 years this coming September. How many of I seen walk down that aisle? And I've stood right there by that man and watch him as the doors are flung open back there and watch him as his face changes. I don't look at you all. I always watch him because this is his first time that he's seen her like this. He's been with her, he's seen her in blue dresses, green dresses, all this sort of thing. But this is his first time whenever he sees her. And her eyes, I watch her. Her eyes from back there and his eyes, and they meet. And you know what I always see? A smile. I mean, if he looked at her and she looked at him and they both went, ah! I'm canceling the wedding. But they smile. She's holding on to her daddy, and her daddy's holding on to her for dear life. Trying to hold back the tears as he says those words, I give her away. And her eyes on her groom, and her groom's eyes on her. Little bride, you think you want to see him? He's been waiting since before the foundation of the world. How many millions of years do you think it's been since from here the program started unfolding into atoms and molecules and light meters? How he longs to see you on that day. You imagine his eyes as he looks across, he looks at you and smiles. And you, my brother, you, my sister, you, my brother. And every one of you gets your look. And he looks at you, not as a crowd. But he looks at you. Not his head, but his head. Oh, I can't wait for that time. That'll be all the reward that I'll need for all my service. Would you forget a mansion, forget a crown, forget for him to look at me. Because you know what that look is? The look of pleasure and of love. How beautiful you are. And I'll stand there and hear the groom and the bride say, talk. You say, you're so pretty. And I just stand there and I think, I wish Carol was up here, I'd marry her again. Can you imagine when they're raised? He looks over and says, my darling. And Paul, for his first time, gets to see Jesus in this resurrected form. And Peter and John and Andrew, for their first time. Oh, you say they've sent him down? No, they haven't. He's in another realm higher. He's still high priest. Paul has never seen him yet either. You imagine as he looks over millions of my dear sweetheart. And Carol went home after church last night. I sat down and looked across the table and I said, my dear beloved wife. My sweetheart. How I love you. What do you want, Brother Donnie? Nothing. Other than just to tell her. I just had an urgency to tell her. Apparently, he had an urgency to tell you this morning how he felt. Anybody feel a return urgency? Sing, hey. Is this worship a little before we go? Before you go get your dinner. Hallelujah.
I'm going home.
It's just worshiping now, saints.
I'm going to. I'm going where I belong.
Yes, Lord. Sing it to him now, little bride.
I've always been. Stranger here, but now I'm going home.
Everybody now, close your eyes, raise your hands under your hoopah.
I'm going home. I'm going soon.
I'm going. I'm going.
stranger here.
Seems like I don't fit down here. Praise the Lord.
But now I'm going
home. I'm going home. The bride is going soon. I'm going where I. I've always been a stranger here, but now I'm going. Let's sing the verse now together. Hallelujah. Oh, no more tears. Think about it. There'll be no more pain, no more heartaches for me. Hallelujah. No more crying, oh, no more dying. Bless you, saints. I love you in the Lord. See you Wednesday night. Go in the fear of God. You see, I've always been
a
stranger here. But
Strength.